My brothers and sisters in Christ, my mother didn't have a lot of money to work with in our household because my father was an enlisted man in the U.S. Navy, the aviation division, long before they raised the pay of those folks. There wasn't a lot of money floating around the Brenning household, huh? But whenever she could, Mom bought good quality clothing for her children. She said it was worth paying more because the clothes would be made of better material, would fit better, and would last longer. What Jesus Christ offers us is of the highest quality, salvation from sin and death. That's why we call the message about him good news. For those who are honest enough to admit their sins and brave enough to face their own mortality, Christ offers hope that those twin enemies can truly be overcome. But as with quality clothing, there is a price to pay. That's the completion of our second reading. It's the only personal letter in the entire New Testament. It's from St. Paul to a man he had converted to Christianity named Philemon. Now, Philemon was probably a fairly wealthy man, and the community, Christian community in his area met in his home. So he's a leader of the Christian community there. But he owned slaves. You know, I'm a historian by training. Some estimate that about a third of the ancient world, at least the Mediterranean area, but it's, I knew it was true in Latin America, South America, other parts of the world, but a third of the ancient world was held in slavery. Imagine one out of every three people was a slave. It wasn't racially based. It was based, if you were captured in a war by the enemy, they would enslave you. If you ran up big debts and couldn't pay them, you could get out of it by becoming a slave at least for a certain number of years. Slavery was very, very common. It was just an accepted economic practice. Philemon has a slave named Onesimus. The word means useful. If you read the whole, the letter's short. Read it when you go home. The letter to Philemon. And Paul makes a play on words. He says, Onesimus isn't useful to you because he's not there, because he's run away, but he's very useful. He's Onesimus to me. He's very useful to me. Paul was in prison, but was allowed to have someone assist him and so on in his daily life. Okay? Paul, as a converted Philemon, had converted Onesimus too to the Christian faith. So now Paul is writing a letter which Onesimus will take back to Philemon. And it's really a very subtle way for Paul to argue against the practice of slavery. He says, now I'm sending him back to you, not simply as a man who you have held in slavery, but as a brother in the Lord. Because Onesimus is now a baptized Christian, Philemon, just as you are. Okay, and Paul had written elsewhere, and quite possibly Philemon knew this. This is in Paul's letter to the Galatians. All of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, neither slave nor free person. There is not male or female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. All of those natural and even economic relationships still existed, but none of them was any longer a motive for being separate from other people, from making invidious comparisons with looking down on other people. Because if you put on Christ through your baptism, you are now joined to those other people as your own brothers and sisters, huh? What Paul is doing really is showing Philemon what his faith, the price he has to pay to be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ. Is he going to continue to hold his brother in the Lord, Onesimus, as a slave, or is he going to free him? Economic loss, but you're more living up to your Christian faith. The inclusion of this personal letter in the New Testament, I think, shows that Philemon got the message and treated Onesimus properly and probably freed him. Now, the Lord himself addresses the high price of following him for salvation in today's gospel. Note that Jesus speaks in a typically Semitic way. Remember, he's like us in all things but sin, which means he's a first century Jew and talks like one, right? And well, how do they talk? They would affirm one thing by totally denying another. Affirm one thing by just blasting out of the picture something else, right? And so the Lord uses the word hate in that way. Huh? If anyone comes to me without hating his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. But people, this is the Lord who teaches us to honor our father and mother, who commended the faithful, the married people, to commended them in faithful love, huh? who loved and blessed children. You know, what is the take hate as a way of speaking to deny one thing totally so you can affirm something else. A third century bishop, Saint Cyprian, who also became a martyr, he was a bishop in northern Africa, he captures the meaning of what Christ means when he says you have to hate your brothers and sisters and all that, right? He says, what does he mean? Prefer nothing to Christ, who preferred nothing to you. Prefer nothing to Christ, who preferred nothing to you. Since the Lord offered his life to save yours for all eternity, don't let anyone or anything come between you and him. Years ago, I had the wedding of a man and woman. The young woman had become a Catholic. Her parents were very anti-Catholic. And not only this, she wanted now to marry a man who was a pretty good Catholic. And that added insult to injury, right? Her parents said, if you marry him, we're not coming to the wedding and we are disowning you. Okay? She would not let family ties keep her from following Christ and her conscience. More than 30 years later, that couple is still married. Okay. Jesus says, you can't even prefer your own life to serving me. Huh? We have an instinct, and a good one, for self-preservation. But there may be times we have to overcome that instinct in order to serve others. There was a Catholic priest, Mary Knoll priest, who was serving as a Navy chaplain in Vietnam. Father Vincent Capodanno, he grew up in New York City, one of many children, and he became a priest, and he served in the Bible. He volunteered to serve as a military chaplain. And so he's in Vietnam. He actually rescued some of the fallen soldiers. But one day he's going out to minister to a Marine who has been injured, and Father Capodanno himself was killed. He's later was awarded posthumously the Medal of Honor, and he's now being considered for sainthood in the Catholic Church. He preferred to serve others rather than protect his own life. The Lord also says at the end of the gospel today, it's necessary to renounce all our possessions. Now, when I was a vocation director in my first diocese for candidates for the priesthood, I helped a doctor, a dentist, lawyers, military officers, businessmen, scientists, and teachers become priests. All of them gave up professions for which they had prepared, in which they had been exercising. And some gave up homes and girlfriends as well. Their material possessions and professional degrees did not possess them. They could renounce all them to serve the people of God. They chose Christ first before anything else. They preferred nothing to him. So prefer nothing to Christ, who preferred nothing to you. You may have to risk losing a relationship if, for example, you say you cannot rejoice if a family member is going to marry outside the Catholic Church because of a divorce, and they never even tried to get an annulment, and because that's possible. A lot of marriages fail because they shouldn't have been engaged in the first place. But you say, I can't go because I can't take joy in someone turning away from the Lord and from His church. You may be called upon to defend someone who's being attacked for standing up for unborn children or for immigrants, even though it puts you at risk of being attacked. And you have plenty of opportunities to make generous use of your material resources to help others in need. We just did that throughout our diocese. Remember that special collection about the middle of August for those who were affected by the storms and the flooding in the southern part of our state and in eastern Kentucky? We've raised so far around $500,000, which we will be sending to Catholic Charities in our diocese and also to the Diocese of Lexington to help those affected by those storms and floods. An example, again, of my own experience, of the prices, these are prices we are called upon to pay to show our loyalty to Jesus Christ, that we prefer Him to anyone and anything else. In concrete ways, we have to carry our cross and follow the Lord who carried His on our behalf. So our religion is not one for the faint-hearted. We have to decide inwardly whether or not we really want to be disciples of Jesus Christ, because it demands that we pay a high price. That's why the Lord tells the parables about building the tower and facing an enemy army. Are you sure you want what the Lord is offering? And are you willing to pay the price? Now, I could stop there and say, oh my God, maybe I ought to become a Buddhist. We would be in a hopeless situation if the Lord did not help us. Along with giving us a stiff challenge, and I don't want to minimize anything the Lord has said here, He also gives us generous help. He not only lays out the challenge, but consoles us by His mercy. He will forgive us as many times as we need it. He will help us up as many times as we fall. The sacraments of the Church, especially penance and the Eucharist, building on our baptism, will strengthen us to carry our cross. The Lord also continues to hold out to us the wonderful life to which He calls us, life with God and with all His saints forever. That hope can help us to stare down adversity and to keep our eyes clearly focused on the Lord. He offers us the gift of the highest quality that we could ever desire, salvation from the sins that weigh us down and from the prospect of permanent death. And so we pray in the words of the psalmist, our responsorial psalm, teach us to number our days aright, that we may gain wisdom of heart. Fill us at daybreak with your kindness, that we may shout for joy and gladness all our days. And may the gracious care of the Lord, our God,